Public approval of the Supreme Court has dropped to an historic low. A recent Gallup poll found only a quarter of Americans had confidence in the court, and that was before last week's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. A separate poll shows a majority of Americans believe the ruling was politically motivated. What does this all mean for the future of the highest court in our land and its legitimacy? Let's bring in Ian Millhiser. He's the author of two books on the Supreme Court, and he's also a senior correspondent at Vox. Welcome.
It's good to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Ian, you've written an essay for Vox titled "The Case Against the Supreme Court of the United States of America." And in your piece, you describe the court as, quote, "one of the chief architects of America's democratic decline." Why do you believe that to be true?
I'm just looking at the court's decisions. You know, they have dismantled the Voting Rights Act, you know, the sacred law that people bled and died for to make sure that the heirs to the people our country enslaved would get to participate in our political process. You know, just this term, the court handed down three cases involving racial gerrymanders. In each case, they sided with Republicans against Democrats, and they picked the outcome that diminished the power of black voters. So, you know, this court, it's not just making huge substantive policy decisions. You know, it's not just changing the law on abortion. It's not just changing the law on guns. It's not just stripping the EPA of much of its authority. It is also manipulating the electoral process itself so that fewer people can vote and so that the rules of our elections are more easily manipulated by partisan officials.
Let me bring you back to Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Many conservatives would argue that the court's ruling last week helps it to reclaim its legitimacy because it's returning the abortion issue back to the states. They would argue that Roe v. Wade, that decision back in 1973, deprived the rights of voters in every state to decide the issue. And I want to play a clip for you of a Notre Dame law professor named O. Carter Sneed. He filed an amicus brief in support of the Mississippi case overturning Roe. And here's what he had to say about the decision.
The question is, what questions are reserved for the political process and which questions are the province of the justices? And only those rights that are not merely not mentioned in the Constitution, but also not present in the history of our republic. At no point at common law or certainly not in the 19th century was there a right to abortion. Quite the contrary.
So there are many people who believe this is a win for the court and for the American people, and the interpretation of Roe is constitutionally the way the original framers had it in mind.
So I guess I'll bring the conversation back to where we originally started, talking about voting rights. You know, I have seen poll after poll after poll showing that solid majorities of the country did not want Roe v. Wade overruled, that solid majorities of the country are pro-choice, you know, in the neighborhood of 60% of the country, wants there to be solid abortion rights. And if what Alito wants is a fair democratic fight where, you know, we actually go out and through the democratic process decide whether abortion shall be legal or not, I think pro-choice people will win that fight. The problem is that the court isn't just saying we're going to send abortion policy back to state legislatures. It's also mucking around with our elections. It's also allowing Republican legislatures to rig the maps. If Sam Alito wants a fair fight, let's throw this open to the democratic process and let's have a fair democratic process. But that's not what this court is calling for. This court, as it is saying we're going to throw these fights to state legislatures, is also rigging the democratic process so that their outcome will win.
I want to go back to this poll that showed that most Americans believe that the ruling to overturn Roe was politically motivated. Isn't the idea that the Supreme Court could even be non-political, isn't that a relatively new idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the court has always been a political institution. It's a much more partisan institution than it used to be, because I think that both political parties now have more of a sense of what they want from judges. I think that the way that the United States picks federal judges is fundamentally flawed. You have a partisan president who picks the judges, and you have a partisan Senate who confirms the judges. And What sort of judges do you think you're going to get under those circumstances? You know, I mean, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You'd be a fool to appoint nonpartisan judges when they wield all this power, and you can instead appoint people who will advance your policies. And there's many better ways that we could be picking judges in the United States.
And if you believe that that's a broken system, what solutions do you have for fixing it?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the only solution is going to be a constitutional amendment or a revolution, because, you know, a big part of the reason we are here is because, the Constitution is a fundamentally flawed document. We shouldn't think of the founding framers as gods. You know, they did things like put judicial selection in the hands of partisan officials. They created a Senate where every voter in Wyoming essentially gets 68 times as much representation as every voter in California, because California just has so many people in Wyoming and each state gets two senators. I mean, I think that is wrong. I think there is no moral justification for saying that a person in California counts as 1/68 of a person in Wyoming. And so ultimately, I think that the problems that we're facing right now stem from the Constitution itself. They stem from the fact that we have a system that is far less democratic than it should be, and that we have a system that makes it very, very easy for partisan actors to capture the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court wields all of this power. So, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't know how we get out of this situation without constitutional reform, because you don't want these partisans on the Supreme Court. You do want nonpartisan judges. And, you know, there's the Missouri system that uses a nonpartisan commission to pick judges. That has worked very well. There's the French system where judges basically go to judge school and they're civil servants who are promoted, you know, from within the civil service. So there are other ways to choose judges that do not lead to this extraordinarily partisan system that we have in the United States. And, you know, if we had the power to build a better system, I would look to something like the Missouri system. I would look to something like the French system. I would not do the partisan method of choosing judges that we have at the federal level.
It seems constitutional reform, to be frank, is unlikely, and hopefully no one would want a revolution. It feels like we're going to be stuck with the status quo here.
It does feel. I mean, I want to be clear-eyed about this. The situation we're in right now is very, very bad, and under this Constitution, you know, I do not see a clear way out of it. I also think that people need to think more ambitiously about, I wrote a piece recently for Juneteenth, and what I argued is that, you know, our system is really terrible right now. It's leading to really undemocratic results. You know, the Democratic Party has won the popular vote in 7 of the last 8 presidential elections, but, you know, Republicans still get to control the White House half the time, and they have a supermajority on the Supreme Court because of these anti-democratic pathologies of our system. And fixing it will be very hard. But, you know, the positive lesson I draw from American history is, you know, if you think that our struggle is difficult right now, think about what Frederick Douglass had to do. You know, think about what people, you know, what black people in the South had to do in the 50s and the 1960s. Like, it is not a new thing that the cause of democracy in the United States has faced insurmountable odds. And, you know, democracy has won before. But I think that's like the level of ambition that people need to be thinking at right now. You know, until we start thinking about how do we have a system that gives us a nonpartisan judiciary? How do we make it so that every single person's vote counts the same? I think that is the level of ambition that we need to think about if we're going to get out of this mess.
Ian Millhiser, senior correspondent at Vox. Ian, thank you for provoking this interesting conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.